is you. To act justly and love mercy and walk humbly too. I'm reminded of the things you always said, what's in your heart. I know that I have yet to go that far. I want to live my life in glory to you, Lord. That each and every day I love you more. I pray I'll die for you, the one that I adore. That someday I may hear words I hold so dear. Well done, my child, you have believed. You've been so faithful to me. Of truth you long to say. There is healing that may never come unless I pray. There are works of love and courage that, Lord, only you can do. I'm willing, oh, I yearn to be like you. I want to live my life in glory to you, Lord. That each and every day I love you more. I pray I'll die for you, the one that I adore. That someday I may hear words I hold so dear. Well done, my child, you have believed. You've been so faithful to me. I know that one day when I look at you and I long to see the pleasure in your eyes. I pray I'll die for you, the one that I adore. That someday I may hear words I hold so dear. Well done, my child, you have believed. You've been so faithful to me. You've been so faithful to me.
This morning in this place, just reminded of that, how good you are. Thank you for that beautiful song that Carol just shared with us, just reminding us of how faithful you are every day, how you provide for all of our needs, how you protect us and sustain us. God, reminders of your grace, your goodness to us. And Lord, I thank you for this time of year when, Lord, we're beginning to think about how thankful we are for you, for our families, for our friends, for our church, for your blessings to us. And God, as we gather in this place this morning, as we just prepare our hearts before you to hear from you, Lord, just give us a thankful heart this morning. As the choir sang it this morning, prepare our hearts to be a sanctuary for you. Lord, we lift up those who aren't able to be here with us this morning. We pray for Joy and pray that you would continue to just put your healing hand on her as she recovers from surgery. And for Bill, that you would just bring healing to his body as he recovers. And for Jennifer Holloway, that you would just touch her and Steve and Ruth during this time and give them comfort and strength. For our families within the church who have lost loved ones who are grieving, we pray for Bessie and her family. We pray for Ray Jean and her family and just ask you to continue to comfort them and carry them through their time of loss. Let them feel your presence surrounding them. God, we're reminded in this place this morning of how faithful you are. Thank you for that. And Lord, this morning you are faithful every time we come together to speak through your word. Help us not to miss that this morning. Even now, Lord, would you help us to settle in before you? God, help us to put everything else for just the next little bit out of our hearts and out of our minds and just focus on what you want to show us. Give us an openness. Help us to be honest before you and receptive to you. And we invite your Holy Spirit to take your word this morning and to speak it into the deepest parts of us. God, may we be changed by your word today. I pray for those in this place this morning who are struggling with decisions, important decisions, who are struggling with things in their own life. God, I pray that this morning you would speak into that. They'd find a peace and a comfort and a help. God, I pray for those in this place this morning who have doubts and questions, who are struggling and hurting. God, that in this place this morning you would speak into that. And Lord, they'd find hope and healing. God, for those who may be even struggling with questions about you and their own salvation, Lord, may they find you this morning. And God, what you do in this place today, we will be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise for what you do. God, we'll look to you. We'll praise and exalt your name. We'll glorify you in that. So, Lord, this morning, settle us in before you. Speak to our hearts. Change us, God. May we not just be stirred this morning. May we be transformed, God, by the preaching, the teaching, the telling of your word. We love you. We praise you. All honor and glory and praise goes to you this morning. Holy Spirit, fall on us in this place and speak your word into our hearts. It's in your name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Take your Bible, if you have the copy of the scripture with you this morning, and be finding, if you would, Luke, the fifth chapter, Luke chapter 5. We're going to be looking at just a very short little narrative of an encounter that Jesus had with a man that he called to follow him, and also a group of folks and how they responded to that call and the call of God on their own lives. So going to kind of be focusing on that this morning. So Luke chapter 5 is where we're going to be here in just a little bit. I want to talk to you this morning about the calling of a Christian. And you'll notice kind of a strange title in the bulletin today. I've titled this message this morning, Recalling Your Calling. You know, I think it's too easy for us sometimes as Christians, as believers who maybe go through the motions all the time of going to church, of worshiping, of kind of sitting in a service like this, to get so comfortable and so used to what we do that we forget who we were and where we were when God called us and saved us. And not only that, it's easy for us to forget what we've been called to. What's our purpose? I always think about it like this. I always say, you know, God, what do you want me to do with my life? We often attach that word call to a person that's kind of like me, what we might call professional clergy, right? We always think, well, every pastor, every minister, maybe missionaries, they have a call experience that they can maybe share about a time when God called them. But here's what I want you to understand and kind of get in your mind this morning. I believe that every single believer has been called. You've been called to follow him. You've been called to something. And the big question for me is, what's my purpose as a Christian? What's my calling? What's my purpose? What does he want from me? What's your purpose? And that's what I've titled this message this morning, Recalling Your Calling. Now, I don't know about you. Some of you may be sitting there and going, I never realized I was called. Well, you're called, okay? You're called. I'm going to show you that this morning, okay? So you're called. And some of you may be saying, well, I think I knew what I was called to at one time, but now I'm not so sure. And maybe the question kind of pervades your mind, now that I'm saved, what? Now that I'm a Christian, now that I'm a follower, what? What are we supposed to be doing as a church? What are we supposed to be doing as believers? What am I supposed to do with what I hear every Sunday morning when I walk out the doors? What's my calling and purpose as a Christian? I want to share a couple of quotes with you this morning, some statements that have, I'm just going to share them with you kind of personally this morning. These are three statements that have greatly impacted my life and ministry for a long time. I read all three of these statements a long time ago in my ministry, and there's something about these statements, and I may have shared one or maybe even all of them with you at some other point during my time here in the last 8 years. I don't know. But these are some quotes that have meant so much to me. I think about these statements all the time. They kind of bring me back to kind of what I feel like was my calling, what God's called me to do, what He wants me to see, and what His purpose is for me. And I just want to share these with you. The first one is from a man by the name of Eugene Peterson. And maybe you've heard of Eugene Peterson. He's the one who wrote that great little paraphrase called The Message. Now, before you think I'm a heretic because I called The Message a great little book, it is. You just have to learn how to read a paraphrase, right? But his paraphrase is really powerful. The Message is a great little work. Eugene Peterson put that together. That's not the book where this quote comes from, though. This quote comes from a book that Eugene Peterson wrote a long time ago called Long Obedience in the Same Direction. So let me just kind of give you a hint here. I believe if you as a Christian are sitting here to go, what is my calling? What's my purpose? Well, I think it's kind of tied up in that word obedience, right? I am to obediently follow the Lord, to do what He's called me to do, to follow Him, right? There's to be obedience in that. Well, Eugene Peterson wrote this book called Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Great little book, powerful stuff in this book that really touched me. And in that book, he makes this statement that has really stuck with me, and it's impacted my life and my ministry. And here's the statement that Eugene Peterson makes in that book. He says this, when we sin and we mess up our lives, I love this, we find that God doesn't go off and leave us. He enters into our trouble and saves us. Now, I love that statement, and it's really impacted me for a lot of reasons. For one reason, because that's where He found me, okay? I'm so thankful that I serve a God that when I mess up, when I fail, when I fall, and let me just kind of tell you this, preachers fail and fall too, right? When I fail and when I mess up, God doesn't go off and leave us. What does He do? He enters into that mess and saves us. And I'm so thankful for that. That's kind of ties up, I think, kind of inside of that little statement, I think the entire gospel message is there. If you really think about that, that's what Jesus did when He left the throne of heaven and came here, right? What did He do? He entered our mess right with us. And why did He come? To bring us back to God, to call us back to Him. That's kind of the message that we kind of need to understand. When we sin, when we mess up, and listen, not only do we need to remember that personally as believers, that's where He found us, but we need to kind of cling to that to understand God loves sinners. He does. He loves people who are messed up, who have fallen short. And sometimes we have a tendency to judge them and push them away. And what's God doing? Drawing them to Himself for salvation. Can I just tell you, I think that's what we ought to be doing. Drawing people to Jesus where they find hope in this lost world. So think about that just a little bit. The second quote is really interesting to me, and this is from Keith Miller. Keith Miller wrote a book many years ago that's called A Taste of New Wine. And it's kind of interesting because Keith Miller really wasn't a preacher. He's from Oklahoma. He wasn't a preacher. He was an oil man. And God got a hold of his heart and started speaking to his life. And Keith Miller wrote this little book called A Taste of New Wine. Great book. As a matter of fact, I was reading about this book this week and kind of looking some things up about it. It is on the top 100 Christian book lists of all time that have greatly impacted our century. That's how powerful this little book is. Written by a man that wasn't even a preacher, right? He was an oil man. Well, after he wrote this book, it became a Christian classic almost immediately. And then he went on and got degrees in theology, psychology, and finance. He became a lecturer and a teacher at Princeton Theological Seminary. Then for a while, he lectured and taught at one of our own Southern Baptist seminaries in Louisville, Kentucky. For a while, he taught at the seminary I went to in Fort Worth. Keith Miller became very respected because of some of the things that he shared in this great little book that he wrote, A Taste of New Wine. Here's the statement that I read a long time ago that has impacted my life and my ministry. Here's what he said. I love this. He said, our churches are filled with people who outwardly look contented and at peace, but inwardly are crying out for someone to love them just as they are. Confused, frustrated, often frightened, guilty, often unable to communicate even with their own families. But the other people in the church look so happy and contented that one seldom has the courage to admit his own deep needs before such self-righteous groups as the average church appears to be. Do you get what he's saying in that statement? That has hung with me in my ministry, to realize that every time I stand up to preach, everybody looks good to me. Everybody looks great. But we sometimes don't know what's going on in the hearts and the lives of those who are sitting in that room. God does, but we don't. And God wants to speak into that life. He wants to speak hope and meaning and purpose. And listen, I think that's a part of our calling as believers, to recognize that. And here's what I think that quote kind of says to me. I wonder sometimes if we're really honest about ourselves at church, if we don't hide behind the mask of religion, hide our real hurts and our real needs, and by doing so, we miss our real purpose and calling. We miss it. And then here's the last statement. This one kind of comes from a kind of surprising source from me. This is a quote that is kind of given by a pretty prolific, but at times controversial, Dutch Reformed Catholic priest. Okay? Isn't that interesting? Long title. Henry Nouwen. And he wrote a little book that's called The Genesis Diary. And in that he said this, "He who thinks that he is finished is finished. Those who think that they have arrived have lost their way. Those who think they have reached their goal have missed it." I love that statement. Now, those three statements have really impacted me. It has caused me to constantly go back and refocus what he called me to, not as a preacher, but as a believer, where I was when he found me, and what he's called me to today. And that's what I want us to look at. And I believe that in our passage of Scripture we're going to look at this morning, in Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 32, we get to meet a man that God called, and we ought to identify with his calling. And then we get to meet also in this story a group of people who God had called, who had missed it. And I want you to see this. I want us to think about this. Let's recall our calling. Think about that with me this morning. Just a short little passage we're going to read. Luke 5, beginning in verse 27. If you have your Bible there with you this morning, you follow along with me as I read. Here we go. "After these things, he," Jesus, "went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office." Your Bible may say tax collector, booth may say. "Sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, 'Follow me.'" That's a pretty simple calling, isn't it? Follow me. All right? Who are you following? Who are you following? Christian, listen. You've been called to follow one. Who are you following? Okay? He simply called him, "Follow me." Verse 28, I love this. So what did he do? "He left all, rose up, and followed him." That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's where we were when he found us. That's what he called us to. That's what we're supposed to do. I love the idea of verse 28, the instant obedience that he practices. Verse 29, "Then Levi gave him," Jesus, "a great feast in his own house. And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There is so much in that passage of Scripture that we'll preach. I love to come to this story because I think there's powerful truth that's kind of mentioned all throughout those few short verses in this calling experience for Levi. And we're going to kind of pour into it this morning because I believe there's a word there for us. I want you to think about this with me just for a second. Those verses I just read, listen, highlight them, underline them, put parentheses around them or something, because I truly believe, Christian, listen to me, that's your calling, your purpose. Your calling is really found in that passage of Scripture in some way. Now, probably, just a little bit of a background here, probably Jesus was on the outskirts of Capernaum when this encounter took place. Nancy and I have been to Capernaum. Right on the outskirts of Capernaum, there is a sign that says, Hometown of Jesus. That's interesting, isn't it? That kind of caught my attention. Hometown of Jesus, that's kind of debatable, I think. Some people say, well, he wasn't from Capernaum, was he? I thought he was from Nazareth. Capernaum's in Nazareth. So think about that. So that's kind of interesting. But right on that outskirts of Capernaum, that's where we think this encounter took place. And he found Levi, who was a tax collector, and my Bible says sitting in his tax office. Your Bible may say sitting in his tax collector's booth. And he issued an invitation to Levi to follow him. He called him to become one of his followers. And you know that Levi did become a follower of Christ. We know he did. Because we know that Levi kind of has a different name, right? Your Bible may have that name there. It may say this is the calling of Matthew. Another name for Levi is the disciple Matthew. We know Matthew wrote the first gospel of the New Testament, right? So this is Matthew's calling. This is his story. It's interesting because Matthew is the gospel that's the very first gospel of the New Testament. It's a fantastic book, right? I mean, the book of Matthew is so filled with such great truth. I love how Matthew expounds on the Sermon on the Mount, how he teaches the great parables of Jesus. He talks about and identifies who Jesus is and how he's coming back for us one day. What a powerful thing. But it all began right here in a tax collector's office. In a tax collector's booth. That's where Jesus found him. But this passage of Scripture, really, if you look at it, is not just about one man who heard the calling of God on his life and responded. This passage also pictures for us a whole group of people who had missed the calling of God on their life. They had forgotten what their purpose and what their calling really was. And you go, well, who are you talking about? I don't see that there. Well, stay with me on this. You'll see it. There's not just Levi in this passage of Scripture who had been called to follow him. There are others in this passage who had been called to follow him, and they missed their purpose and their calling. There's so much in this passage of Scripture. Now, folks, I want you to listen close this morning to what I'm going to share with you because I think sometimes we need a revival of our calling and purpose, even as a church. Sometimes it's far too easy for us as churches to get busy doing our churchy thing, right? We get focused on all kinds of programs and budgets and buildings and all kinds of things like that. We forget why we're here, right? That's why, and this is what I'm going to share with you. That's why I think sometimes we have a tendency to minimize things like a turkey bowl and call it insignificant, but that may be really close to what we're called to do. Think about that. That may be one of those things that really gives us an opportunity to exercise our purpose and calling. And what is that? To reach other people for Jesus. For them to see who he is. To see Christians enjoying who they are in the Lord. And to draw others to him in that. That's a part of our purpose and calling. We must never forget that. We must not miss that kind of thing. Some people may go, well, what does Jesus have to do with packing a little gift box for kids? Can I just tell you? Everything. Everything. Because packed in that box ought to be all of your prayers and your love and your desire to see that child and that family come to know Jesus Christ. That's what it's about, you see? And so sometimes we really get our purpose, our calling as a church, and even as Christians kind of way off base. Is our purpose as a Christian to come to church, to check all the boxes, to sing the songs, to put money in a plate, to say that I was able to do all of those things this week? Is that really our purpose? Is our purpose just to come so that we can march through the rest of the week feeling good about the little bit of time that we spent at church this week? That is not your purpose and calling as a Christian. Listen, Christianity is not religion. It's not. It's not about you making attempts to get to God. What is it? It ought to be a change of a way of life for you. It ought to change everything about you. Listen, it did for Levi, Matthew, It changed everything about him. So let's think about that this morning. I want to just give you a couple of quick truths this morning, just a two-point sermon in the little bit of time that we have. So maybe I can get through that. We'll see. All right? And I just wanted to think about this. We're going to talk about recalling your calling. Christian, listen, let's go back. Remember David prayed that prayer? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Remember that? There's always a time in our life for us to go back, refocus. Once again, remember why we're here, what we're called to. So jot these things down if you're taking notes today. The points will be up on the screen, and they're in a font. Listen, and it's my fault. I put them in a font that's kind of hard to read. I'm going to state it. She's going to leave it up so you can write it down. And you just write these things down because I think as a church, as Christians, we need to recall why we're here, what we're to be about. When we walk out of those doors, what are we to be about? So here it is. Number one, recalling your calling means recalling where you were when Jesus found you and called you. Recalling your calling means that you and I need to be re-reminded. We need to recall where we were when Jesus found us and called us. Where were we? Go back and be reminded of where you were. Can I just give you a hint? You were in the same place Levi was. You're in the same place the tax collector was. You're in the same place. You go, well, I've never been a tax collector. I know we have one tax collector here, right there on the second row. Ken. You don't want to recall that, right? Right? I mean, think about that. You say, well, I wasn't a tax collector. No, but boy, you can identify with Levi more than you probably even know yet. That's where he found us. That's where he called us. In the same place. You see, I just think sometimes we forget that we were just like Levi when Christ found us, when he redeemed us, when he saved us, when he called us out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. I think of something that Oswald Chambers, I love Oswald Chambers, said, and this is a great statement. He said this, never water down the word of God. I love that. Never water down the word of God. But preach it in its undiluted sternness. There must be unflinching faithfulness to the Word of God. But when you come to personal dealings with others, remember who you are. You are not some special being created in heaven, but a sinner saved by grace. You see, I think we need to recall our calling and remember where we were when He found us. Where were we? A sinner in need of a Savior. A sinner saved by grace. That's who we were. That's who we are. Just a sinner saved by grace. Folks, Christians, listen to me. When you forget who you are, it causes us to be insensitive to the needs around us. When all of a sudden we think we've arrived, remember what Henry Nouwen said. He said, when you think you've arrived, you've lost your way. Right? When we think we've arrived, we lose our sensitivity that we ought to have to those who we're called to go to. And that happens. It happens even within a church. I think so often within a church, we get content with these four walls around us and the security that we feel with other people who look just like us and think just like us and sing just like us and like the same things we like. We get so content that we forget where we were when He found us and what He's called us to. I mean, it's not about what happens within these four walls. It's really not. Within these four walls, what are we supposed to be doing? Magnifying and exalting the name of Jesus, inspiring each other so that we can go out there and tell them about Him. That's it. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We need to recall our calling of where we were when He found us. There's a woman that I've read a couple of her books, Rachel Held Evans. She's gone to be with the Lord now. And I read several of her books. Pretty controversial figure, really. But an interesting writer. And much of what she would write, I would read it and I would mark it all up and disagree with so much of what she said. But she made a statement in one of her books that I read not long ago. And this statement has really stuck with me. It challenges me. Here's what she said. She said, but the gospel doesn't need a coalition of devoted to keep the wrong people out. It needs a family of sinners saved by grace, committed to tearing down the walls, throwing open the doors and shouting, welcome. There's bread and wine. Come eat, with us and talk. This isn't a kingdom for the worthy. It's a kingdom for the hungry. Isn't that good? I mean, that's our purpose and calling. And sometimes, don't you know, when you hear that kind of stuff, it kind of jogs our mind and we go, oh, I've forgotten my purpose and calling, haven't I? I've gotten content with where I am. I'm content. And why wouldn't you be, right? I mean, listen, let's just be honest. We've got a great church. Great group of people. I can't wait for Sundays to get to stand out there and hug necks that come in the door. We love each other. We have a great time, whether it's bowling a frozen turkey or packing a shoebox or singing praises to Him on Sunday. We enjoy getting together. We do. I'm glad we're happy and content and satisfied when we come into this place and we get to be together. But folks, that must never be enough for us. Never. Because if it is, we've missed it. We've missed our calling. And we must never forget where we were when He found us and what He's called us to in this life. I think that's so powerful for us. We were sinners, just like Levi, in need of a Savior. That's where we were when He found us. Somehow it's far too easy for us as Christians to become spiritually puffed up, prideful, feel that we've arrived, and lose sight of who we really are before Him. Listen to this statement. God's receiving sinners and refusing the religiously righteous is central to the gospel and the Christian faith. It really is. I mean, think of that. If you read the New Testament, you read the life of Jesus, what was He kind of talking about? You see it right here played out in this passage of Scripture. God's receiving the sinners and refusing the religiously righteous is central to the gospel and the Christian faith. It really is. We come to Him as sinner. A little bit earlier in Luke chapter 5, Peter would make this own declaration about his calling. He would say to the Lord, "Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." What was he saying? Where did God find Peter? Tax collector's booth, a sinner. Or what about this? A couple of weeks ago in our Unshakable series, we were with Isaiah in his call experience in Isaiah chapter 6. Where was Isaiah when God called him? He was worshiping. But do you remember what Isaiah cried out to God in that worship experience in Isaiah 6:5? "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips." Where was Isaiah when God found him? In the tax collector's booth, a sinner. Wow. Or what about Paul in 1 Timothy 1:15? Paul writes, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Wow. I want to say, listen, I'm so glad that God has a heart for sinners, because I are one. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that's where I was when He found me and saved me and called me out of that. Now, please don't hear me saying that it's okay for us to stay there, right? I mean, we still struggle with sin, right? We sin all we want to and more than we want to if we're a believer, right? But what we know about that is that's where we were when He found us, just like Levi. The calling of Levi, Matthew, as we commonly know him, could be the calling of any one of us. You say, well, where are you getting all that? Well, think about his occupation, Levi, and what Jesus was calling him to in this passage of Scripture. He called him to leave all of that and follow him. And what's really interesting about verse 28 is, what did he do? He left all, rose up, and followed him. He left all of that. We know that in that day, tax collectors were one of the most despised professions of the day. And you might say, well, nothing's new under the sun, right? We still feel that. But in this day, it was particularly brutal. Because you see, he worked for the Roman government. The Roman government required a certain amount of taxes. And the way that these tax collectors from among, they hired people that were Jews, that were from among the people. The way they made their money was they extorted and swindled the people out of more than the government required. Whatever they got over that amount was theirs to keep. And obviously, Levi had made himself wealthy, quite wealthy, profiting by doing that. And he was hated and he was despised. He had cheated many people out of their ability even to put food on the table for their families. He was a swindler and a cheat. That's where Jesus found him, a sinner. Folks, listen, that's beautiful. That's where he was. Look at verses 27 and 28. After these things, he went out and he saw a tax collector Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he left all, rose up, and followed him. I think that's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I don't know if you noticed this, but Levi, when he found him, was sitting in the swindler's booth. He was sitting in his sin. You know what God showed me this week, buddy? That's where you were when I called you. Sitting in your sin. When I called you out of it. And folks, listen, that is the story 100% of every born-again believer in this room. That's where he found us. Recall your calling. Where were you when he called you? Where were you when he found you? That's where you were. Remember how the great hymn writer said it? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Wow. That's where we were when he found us. So that's the first part. You ready? That's number one. To recall your calling, you need to recall where you were when he found you, when he called you. Here's the second one. You ready? Just jot this down. Here's number two. Recalling your calling means recalling why you're here and what you're to be about. Why you're here and what you're to be about. Isn't that really what we want to know this morning? Okay, I remember when he saved me. What am I supposed to do with that? What am I supposed to do now? Now that he saved me, what do I do now? Now think with me just for a minute. What's our purpose and our calling as Christians? What are we supposed to be doing? You see, I just believe that it's too easy for us to kind of forget what that purpose is, as I've been saying this morning. And I want us to see this, okay? Imagine what happens. Look at your Bible there in Luke chapter 5 and notice what happens. Verses 27 and 28, Jesus called Levi to come follow him, right? And he gets up, he leaves everything, and he follows him. And then look what happens in verses 29 and through 30. Look at this. This is great. Here's what happened. Then Levi gave him, Jesus, a great feast in his home. And there were a great number of people, of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and their Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Can I tell you why he does? Because that's who needs the gospel. That's who needs it. But look at this. Can't you just see the heart of Levi now? Here's what happened. God, Jesus, finds Levi sitting in his sin, calls him out. Levi follows him. And you know what? Levi, just innocent enough, you know what he wants to do? He can't wait to get his friends together and tell them the good news. That ought to be what we're about. We ought to be so engaged in who we are before Jesus and what he's done for us that we can't keep our mouths shut. That we just got to tell. We just got to tell somebody. And I think about this sometimes. Here's kind of a sign to me that often we've lost our purpose and our calling, not just as a church, but as Christians. We focus in churches so much on budgets and buildings and busyness. And that's why we fight over things like the color of a carpet or those types of issues. We fight over that when our neighbors are going to hell. We're in here fighting over that stuff. When what's our purpose? What's our calling? It's not about that. What's it about? Telling others the hope of Jesus. That's what it's about. We must never lose our purpose and calling. Keep your focus on what your focus is. Notice Jesus' response in verse 31. And I'll just kind of point this out to you in Luke's gospel because he kind of shows us this. The scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples. Jesus answers in verse 31 and 32. Look what it says. I think this is so interesting. Here's what he says. Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know why Jesus came? He just told you. That's it. What's Christmas about? Why did God step out of heaven and come to earth? He just told you right there. Jesus just laid it all out for us. He just told you why he came. What's Jesus about? What does Jesus want from me? What does he want to do in my life? What is he after? There it is right there. Hold your place there in Luke, if you would. And I want you to turn over to Matthew, Levi's parallel account of this. This is Levi's telling of the story. It happened to him after all, right? Turn over to Matthew chapter 9 real quickly with me. You can just turn there. We'll stay there through the rest of this because he's going to give this to you before we close this morning. I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 9. Look at verses 12 and 13. This is the one that all this happened with. This is, remember, they're at Levi's house. They're at Matthew's house. This is his account in Matthew chapter 9, verses 12 through 13. It'll sound very much like that, but there's some things added here. Verse 12. When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." Verse 13. "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Can I just tell you three things Jesus just said that we need to recall? Three truths about what we need to recall about what we're to be about, what we're to be doing. Just a couple of truths here. You ready? Here's the first one. Think of this. What he's essentially saying is this, that we need to recall that the good news, the gospel, and salvation, and the church is not for the well, but the needy, the sick. That's it. I mean, think about that statement, that's us. We're sinners in need of a Savior. We come in here every week to worship Him who loves us despite us. He does. He loves us despite us. I'm overwhelmed by that. You know what it causes within me? It causes me to well up with gratitude, expressing that to Him. Every Sunday morning, you don't know some of this goes on, but I get to pray with one of our deacons every Sunday morning early. And I'm always blessed by that. I'm blessed to get to hear them pray. I'm blessed when they pray over me. I'm blessed to hear, and I'm just going to tell you this. You have some humble servants in this church who God's called. That's one of the strengths of this church, is those men are humble. This morning I prayed with one of our men and I listened to him pray. And he said, "God, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know why you would love me like you do." Folks, that's beautiful to me. That's beautiful. You see, that's what he said. We come to church week after week. Why? Because listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm needy. You're needy. Don't ever be afraid to say that, Christian. We need Him. We need Him. You need Him every single day. I shouldn't have to stand up here every Sunday and say to you, spend time every day in your Word. Spend time praying every day. Worship privately. You ought to be strong enough to recognize your need for Him, and you ought to want to get into His presence as often as you can. Because we're needy. I love that. The good news, the salvation message that we need to recall is that it's for the sick, the needy, not the well. Here's the second truth. You ready? Our calling and purpose is not to religious service and duty, but to love others and draw them to the Savior. Let's not get that wrong. Our call as believers, what we need to recall, our purpose is not to religious service and religious duty, but to love others and draw them to the Savior. How did Levi say it? What did he say? Jesus said, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Wow. That's what we're called to. Here's the third one. Got to give it to you because I got to close. You ready? Here's the third one. I love this. You just jot these down. They're up there behind me. And of course, I'm expounding on them, you guys. So here's the third one. Jesus did not come to save the religiously self-reliant who think they are good enough on their own. He came for dirty, rotten sinners who recognize their need and come broken, seeking a Savior. I hope you come every Sunday seeking the Savior. Every Sunday. I hope you come seeking Him, wanting to hear from Him. God, what do you want to speak into my life? What do you want to say to me? Folks, listen to me. I think we need to recall our calling. Not long ago, we get these in the mail all the time, you probably too, we got a recall notice. And I keep getting them now on my phone. And I show them to Nancy and she said, "Oh, just ignore that. Just ignore that recall notice. It doesn't mean anything." I'm getting those too. Is that not what you said? Just that's what we say. And really and truly, it's too. It's talking about something we don't even have, right? That's right. It's talking about something we don't even have. But often we do that, don't we? I was just thinking about that. And when I was working on this message, I was thinking, you know, recalling our calling. What do we often do? God is calling us to Himself all the time. And what do? We push the recall aside. We push it aside. I think, listen to me, in my own personal life as a minister and as a Christian, I think in your walk as a believer, as a churchman, a churchwoman, we need to recall what we're to be about. Where we were when he found us. And we need to get the main thing. What's he called us to? Let's keep our focus. That's not to say that all those other things are not important, right? I mean, I think buildings are important. Why? Because we want to build buildings that we can bring people into and minister to them and love on them and point them to Jesus. That's important. Budgets are important. Why? Because the kingdom may increase through the dollars that you give, right? That's all that stuff's important, but it must not be the main thing. The main thing must be what he's called us to do, and that's tell others about him. Would you bow with me forward of prayer? With heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know what God might be saying in your heart this morning through a simple message like this. Maybe you're here this morning and you just need to answer the recall in your own personal walk and struggle. Maybe that's it. As a Christian, you need to hit reset. You need to go back to where you were when he found you. You just celebrate that and his love for you every day, a sinner saved by grace, being reminded. Maybe as a church, we need to be reminded of what our purpose, what our calling is this morning. Maybe God spoke into your heart and said, this is where I want you to plant your life, with a group of Christians who are bent on making the main thing the main thing, who want to focus their attention on him and serving him and telling others about him. Maybe that's where you want to be. Maybe as a Christian, it's a call for recommitment. Or maybe if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, it's a call of a total commitment of your life to him. Maybe like Levi, you need to get up from where you are and follow him. Maybe that's you. Father, we thank you this morning for the truth of your word. And God, we just lay all of this before you. God, your word is clear at why you came and what you came to do. You came to seek and save that which is lost. You didn't come for the well, you came for the sick. You don't desire sacrifice, you desire mercy. You came to call us, the sick, to your side. Lord, this morning we want to follow you in that. So God, during this response time this morning, as we just sing and worship to you, if there's those who need to come and respond, you give them the courage to step out by faith and to come. Lord, we'll give you and you alone the honor and the glory and the praise for what you're doing. God, this is about you drawing all men to yourself. We'll give you the praise in that. Lord, we commit this response time to you today. Move on us. Move on us in this place. It's in your name I ask these things. Amen. Would you stand with us as we sing our hymn of invitation? It's a simple worship song. Hallelujah. Sing it in worship to him. And if you need to come, you come.